Okay, what we're going to be talking about, I've been looking at for a while now, what is man, and I know and appreciate that we were created as humans. We've been created in God's image, but we also know that God is a creator, and He has created other beings that could be considered a person. And we've thought about Satan being a person. And so some of the thoughts about God being a person, and then man being a person, and Satan is a person. And I think there are some verses that we're looking at where we see that Satan as a person thought he could represent God, Jesus Christ the Son, and yet we know that he wasn't qualified. But some of these, when we think about, I ask the question, why was Satan created? Well, if you want to know something good, someone who's holy and just and pure and cannot lie, then sometimes in order to get the point across, you have to become a person. You have to be knowable. And we do know, above all things, that God wanted to be known, and He wanted us to know Him. And the way He created us in the image of God, by the way, we're the only being that are created in His image. We think that Satan was more like an angel, an angelic person. He had a lot of wisdom. One of the things we know about man is that God wants them to be a ruler or somebody who reigns, and that He wants us in reality after we're saved to imitate Him, to be a person like Christ. And I think in resurrection we'll finally be able to do that. But it's interesting to think about how evil, how sinful, how much of an arch enemy that Satan is, and how his goals are constantly working to destroy those saints that are in Christ. So as we begin to share some thoughts about this, hopefully you'll see the point I'm trying to make. I don't ever like to spend too much time thinking about Satan. But I do know that he is our enemy. I do know that he tries to deceive us, and I do know that he's doing that because he hates God, and he doesn't like the fact that with everything he had going for him, his beauty, his wisdom, his knowledge, his ability to make huge sums of money and to traffic the earth, that all those things that he did never qualified him to be even as we are as a man, as a person. And yet, he always wants to imitate God. So I think he does take on a body. I do think he takes on a form. That he's not in the image of God. He's more in the image of how the Lord created him, and how he is he's been going about trying to deceive and cause problems. So that's the thought is the difference in between love and hate, the difference in between truth and lies. The difference in between reigning and doing it in a positive and a good way, and being destructive in everything that you touch and do. So it makes me appreciate the glory side of God, the beauty of God, God the Father, God the Son, and how I can know Him, how I can begin to understand why we're here and why God cares about human beings and why He has done what He's done in creation with us. He is constantly working with us. He is constantly taking care of us. And you know, we still know we're dying. I mean, that's part of the curse that Adam and Eve brought. But at the same time, we know that we're never going to be alone. That the Lord is with us and near us, and that He loves us and He cares about us, and He wants what's best for us. And He, I think, what He requires from us is thanks, thank you, and praise. Thank you for being our prayers to your will. So the first place of scripture I want to look up is in 1 Peter 5:8. It says, "Be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil," another thing I'm going to be trying to bring out is some of the names and or titles Satan has. Originally, he was Lucifer, and then he later became the devil, that old serpent. And it says he is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. That's when I think about destruction, that's what I think he's doing. He's going about trying to destroy. Everything the Lord does, it's done in the right way, in a beautiful way, and He says it's good. Everything that Satan seems to get involved with seems to be done out of hate, and it's destruction. And so, because of what he did, which is to be proud, be vain, and think that he was qualified. God said he didn't want any other gods before him, and Satan certainly was not going to be qualified to be the son of God, the Son of Man. Jude 9 states, "Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses." And try to convince him or accuse him of being a something that he didn't feel Michael didn't feel like he was qualified to do that, to bring anything, any accusation. He was going to leave judgment up to the Lord, and he says to the Lord, "Rebuke you. I'll rebuke thee." So the Lord is qualified to do that. He can and He will judge not only Satan but all of us. It's His one of the things that He does. We can use those ideas to we're not to judge others, but we can certainly turn judgment over to the Lord. And let Him judge different situations that may arise. In Genesis 1:26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image." So He took on an image Himself to be known. And then when He created mankind, which is Adam and Eve, they were made in the image of Jesus Christ. He says, after our likeness. So there was not only just the outward appearance that was similar, but there was also the likeness or thinking like and acting like the Lord Jesus Christ does. Or, in our case, some of the encouragement that we've gotten from the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles, and his service to the Lord, his actions toward the Lord. And he said that he was going to fill up the sufferings of the Lord. I'm not sure that the Lord would have us to do that, but I do think he would have us to suffer, or to if someone falsely accuses us or does something that might be harmful to us, not for us to take action against those, but rather pray for them and turn them over to the Lord for his judgment. He says, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. So this is one of the things that we have as men and women that have our faith in Christ. And so this dominion is part of that reigning or being under control. So Adam and Eve certainly had that position in the garden, and especially after they fell, it became much more difficult because the weeds and things like that come into play. He says that let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So I think that was a position that Satan thought he deserved, that he should be ruling, he should be reigning, he should be over others. I do think he's over the angels that fell out of heaven with him and were cast down to the earth. But it's that idea of thinking that he was worthy to do that, and he was going to be good at it. Not only good at it, but he'd be better. Better than what Adam and Eve or any human could do it. Then it says, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him, male and female created he them. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. Just said that. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So that position there, being over God's creation and taking care of it, was one of those things the Lord wanted us to do. And I think He continually keeps order by us or mankind getting involved with those things that belong to him, because he owns the earth, he owns all the things on the earth, he even owns us. And so if you think about it, we come into the world with nothing, leave with nothing, because it's all his stuff. All we do is use it for a season. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up. So this is giving us an explanation of why Satan fell. He lifted up his own heart. I think he looked in the mirror and saw how beautiful he was, how much glory and power that he had, much wealth he had, and he began to think that he could do it. He could represent God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God. And set thine heart as the heart of God. So again, that I think this started out with saying, the Son of Man saying to the Prince of Tyrus, verse 3, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There's no secret that they can hide from thee. This type of information that he had, information that he had gathered over time. He understood a lot about God the Father, but he could never get over that fact that mankind was going to be able to do things that would please the Lord Jesus Christ, and we could have God's approval by doing those things. He says, with thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches. You know, that's a way, sometimes on the earth, this is a way that we measure how successful we are, and by how much wealth we accumulate. It says, he has gotten gold and silver into thy treasures, and by thy great wisdom and by thy traffic, hast thou increased thy riches. And thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. I think it's just a matter of looking at himself and trying to say, who else is like me? Who could I compare myself to? And there isn't anybody except for the Son of Man or Jesus Christ that would even come close to being a superior to him. Verse 6 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, and these terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thee with your rightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou say before him that slayeth thee, I am God, with a capital G, but thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hands of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. If the Lord can take vengeance on Satan and those fallen angels and the mankind that doesn't want to worship him or worship him as God. So that whole idea is, if they're not qualified, if they don't take the sacrifice that God made, the sin offering that he made for us, and believe it and have faith in it. He says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up thy son full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis and the topaz and precious stone was thy covering, to the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald and carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship. It says thy tablets and thy pipes. I'm talking about, he was a musician, and the pipes that he played. It was beautiful, but God wasn't going to accept it because of who it came from. So he says, the pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. So these are some of the attributes that the Lord had given Satan so that he could perform these things. And he, again, because of his own intellect, his own wisdom, and his own pride, he ended up losing that ability to make the kind of music that the Lord wanted to hear. and it was more like rock music than the other types of music that that people make up that aren't the kind of music the Lord wants to hear. He says, I've set thee so, thou was upon the holy mountain of God, that has walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. That's another thing that, you know, when you've been living in heaven, and everything is so beautiful and perfect, when you lose that, and when he was cast out of heaven and down to the earth, that was drastic. That was a huge change. And I think with that, I think he lost some of his power. But at the same time, he was being punished. And he, again, it shows his evilness, and it also shows God's righteousness in his goodness. So that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise I have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. This is going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. He's got some restrictions on him, but for the most part, he's the prince and the power of the air, airways, and he's, you know, in the news, the newspapers, he's on the talk shows, he's everywhere just spreading his lies and trying to corrupt us and all those that love the Lord. It says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, that has corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I think he appeared to Eve as an angel of light. It was very bright and had a lot of good information that he was wanting to share. But we know what he was trying to do was to cause Eve to lose her power and her position because of partaking of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It says, I'll cast thee to the ground, I'll lay thee before kings, and they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. In other words, he still has a following. The third of the angels fell and were cast out when he was. And as a result of that, those angels that follow him are going to suffer loss. 19, it says, and they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. So eventually, after the Lord sets up his kingdom, and after the thousand-year kingdom, there'll be another battle. The Lord's going to come back the second time, and then actually be the king that he always wanted to be over Israel. And he cast Satan into that bottomless pit so he won't have any more control or power. But he'll be released after that 1,000 years. There'll be another battle, and Satan will lose, and he will die. And then the Lord is going to establish a new heaven and a new earth. So again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Zidon and prophesy against it. And verse 22 says, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Zidon, and I will be glorified in the midst of thee, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall have executed judgments in her, and shall be sanctified in her. That's one of the beauties of this. We do see that the Lord finally does, in his timing, bring judgment upon Satan and his minions and all those that took the mark of the beast so they could eat and survive. He says in 23, for I will send into her pestilence and blood into her streets, and the wounded shall be judged in the midst of her by the sword upon her on every side, and they shall know that I am the Lord. The Lord's going to do this because he's going to remove his earth and remove non-believers, people who want to kill those that were members of the house of Israel, the Jews, and those that didn't take the mark. That's who they're going to go after. He says, briar unto the house of Israel, nor any grieving thorn of all that are round about him, them that despise them, and they shall know that I am the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel and the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob. Yeah, the Lord promised them some property over there in Israel and Jerusalem, and all he really desired was to be their king and for them to worship him. And some of these people just would not. Now, I thought of those children going through to the promised land, and they had this staff that they could look at if they got injured or harmed, and they'd be healed. And some people just refused to look up. They didn't want to do that. In fact, they didn't want to thank God for anything. They just wanted to complain and murmur, and therefore they were not healed. They suffered. 26, they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgments upon all those that despise them round about them. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God. And now turning to Isaiah 14, verse 12, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? So that's something that the Lord does too. He changes people's names sometimes when circumstances change. And Satan's, Lucifer's consequences were he's called Satan, and he's called that old serpent. So he has other names, many names, names that really are not very complimentary to him. He says, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne. So this is what Satan said. This is what Lucifer said. This is what I'm going to do. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's where the position of power is. And that's where he wanted to be. Then verse 14 says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet those shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see these shall narrowly look upon thee, and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Psalm 82 says, God standing in the congregation, it's 82:1, standing in the congregation of the mighty, he judges among the gods, little g. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked? That's one of the Lord's rules, is we're supposed to judge fairly, not unjustly, and we're not supposed to accept bribes and accept a person just because they want to, you know, support you. He says in verse 3, defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor. By the way, I don't think that this saves you. You know, you have to be in Christ to be saved. But I do think that you're put in a position of blessing because that's the way God the Father operates. He defends the poor and the fatherless. He meets out justice to the afflicted and needy. And therefore, we should act similarly or in the same manner. We should be loving and kind. It says verse 4, deliver the poor and the needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, you are gods, that's little g, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men and fall into the one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. That's as far as my notes go. I will try to continue this lesson and answer more of those questions that I stated in the beginning, which was some of the names and titles and the positions that Satan had and then what he lost. In that image of a man, to the point that he doesn't have the same power, same authority, same positions that he had before he was cast out of heaven and cast down to the earth. So I think it's good, you know, from the Lord's standpoint, to judge those that want to harm his people, his saints, and I think it's good that we continue to see the difference in between a loving and kind and beautiful God and one of his creations that have taken the wrong path and tried to be God's representative as Jesus Christ, which he is not qualified to do. So thank you again for listening. I trust that this was edifying and give you maybe some new thoughts about that. We know that a man is a soul, that we have a body and we have his spirit. His body that was made for us was made out of the earth. And we know that it requires certain things to keep us alive, like water, food, and I think spiritual guidance helps us keep our minds sound and straight and thinking about giving God the glory for all that he has done. So with that, I'll open up the mic, and anybody has any comments, they can certainly make.